the Lord may be pleased to enable me, I to direct your attention this evening to a word in the chat which we read, Matthew chapter 15, and we read just the verse 25. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 25. We're each well aware of the circumstances of this word before us, and it seemed to come a little power, I trust, early this morning when I woke up this Monday morning. And sometimes Monday morning is not the best time, and our dear friend the pastor knows that. Sometimes after Sabbath day's labours, sometimes Monday is not a very good day. And then, of course, thinking that expecting to come and preach to you, dear friends, at Jarrod Chapel this evening, it brought this word, didn't it? Lord, help me. It was in that way the word was directed to me, and I went to the record that we've read together in this chapter concerning this woman of Canaan. And so I venture with it this evening, and it is a short petition, and yet there's precious truth to be considered in what we read in this little verse. This dear woman with her burdened case, her deep need, was blessed with faith. As you'll notice, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of her great faith. And what a mercy it is when there's faith wrought in the heart. Now, this is all we read about this poor woman, but you know, the fact that she came to the Lord Jesus Christ at this time, and with that earnest plea and that desire in her heart, and a realization too that here was one, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who could meet her case. And we see through the circumstances how that the Lord Jesus Christ journeyed to this part of the country, just outside the territories, as it were, the promised land, the coast of Tyneside. And it is to be seen in the Gospels how the Lord Jesus Christ never took a false step. He always had a purpose in his journey in one place and another. So that we read, don't we, with regard to his journey, he must needs go through Samaria on one occasion. And it was made evident that there was a purpose of grace in that, to meet that woman at the Jacob's well, and to bring home to her heart precious truths concerning who he was, and the blessings that he had to give to poor needy sinners. And here you see the word tells us, and Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Had his Saviour trod this earth, walked miles one way and another, one direction and another, to do good, fulfilling his Father's will in complete obedience to the holy law, living that holy, perfect life. And what a demonstration of divine compassion, almighty power, is to be seen when we consider the records that we have in the Gospels of these times when the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to deal graciously and powerfully to needy cases. And so many of them, there's a deep significance, both with regard to the case that the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with, brought to him, and also the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to deal with those cases. And there is instruction to to be gathered in that. And there is indeed, of course, often a significant meaning, a deeper meaning with regard to the various diseases that some of the subjects of who were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in every case, we see the almighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ linked to his divine compassion to these needy ones. There was no case too hard for him. Might perhaps be an encouragement to one another this evening to realise this. There's no case too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of these cases were desperate cases. Cases where the condition was altogether beyond the skill of human effort. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ could touch, he could speak a word, and there was complete healing. And so we would consider for a little while this case before us then, of this dear woman now in the presence of the dear Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there are one or two outstanding points to consider, I feel, in this record that we have concerning how the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to deal with the case of this poor woman. No doubt the dear woman came with every expectation. There is reason to believe that the dear woman had some right realization of who the Lord Jesus Christ was. The fact of the language of petition goes to show that. And no doubt the dear woman came with great expectations. No doubt she'd heard of how the Lord Jesus Christ had healed various sick ones and done wondrous miracles. No doubt she came with a bright hope and an expectation. She came with a full realization that the Lord Jesus Christ could meet her case. And so we see here then, first the Lord Jesus Christ journeys this way. Then this woman comes out of the same coasts. This woman of Canaan. One who was despised by the Jews. Yet she was not despised by the Lord Jesus Christ. You may feel tried sometimes as you may try and bring your case to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may feel unworthiness. Satan may come with his evil suggestions. There will be no mercy for such a one as you, and all that you realise you are, and what you feel within your own heart with regard to the plague of the heart. Can it be that mercy can reach such a one as you? But these are some of the hindrances. But we can see here how this dear woman was helped to venture, as it were, and to state her case before the Lord Jesus Christ. And she begins in this way with her petition. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Notice how she addresses the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the contrast between this dear woman, although she was a despised Gentile, and many of these scribes and Pharisees. What a contrast. Surely we see here the evidence of living faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how she addresses the dear Saviour. O Lord, thou son of David. Many consider him the carpenter's son. Many declared him to be a blasphemer, a deceiver. And those things were concerning those who were religious people. The scribes and the Pharisees were very religious people. And they had a high estimation of their religion. Yet you see, they're so blinded that they did not realize who the Lord Jesus Christ was. They did not realize their need of him. Not satisfied with their traditional religion. And we've been reminded, haven't we, in this chapter this evening, and what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them they're often, they kind of hear, you read again and again how that these scribes and Pharisees, they're always watching the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. Considering what words fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus, not in a gracious way, but seeking to criticize, and also with regard to the disciples, and they came with questions at this time. But how the Lord Jesus Christ, as he alone could do, he unmasked them, didn't he? Spoke very solemnly concerning them, and how that they fulfilled the prophecy, being hypocrites they were, and that they professed to draw near to God and honour him, but it was with their lips. It was just a lip service, a lip confession, a lip profession of religion. Their heart's not right with God. Therefore, they were blind to who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Now you see a great distinction here. Here's this poor woman. No doubt there were many things she couldn't understand, being who she was, but one thing she knew, here was one who could meet her case. And she addresses the Lord Jesus Christ in this very definite way, making known her petition, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." You see, there was faith. The word of God tells us, doesn't it? Him that cometh to God must believe that he is. And there was that principle in her heart. Yes, that here was one who could meet her case. And she ventures with it. But how she addresses the Lord Jesus Christ, I like to notice this. So different, you see, to the way in which the scribes and Pharisees addressed the Lord Jesus Christ. It was this poor woman with a deep need. And surely, dear friends, it will be these sinners who have been made conscious of their deep need will be given a right view of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners can say, none but they, how precious is the Saviour. You see, these religious Pharisees and scribes, well satisfied with their traditional religion, they didn't realise what they were, how they stood in the light of God's all-seeing eye. The Lord Jesus Christ describes them as blind leaders of the blind, and how he speaks about their worship, doesn't he? Even not from the heart. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Oh, they introduce all sorts of things with regard to the worship of God. Yet you see, they're out of the secret altogether. Now, in contrast with this dear woman here, as we come to our text, we find that she worshipped. Now, this was not vain worship. This was sincere worship. This was humble worship. Though, of course, no doubt her knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ was somewhat limited. But you see, there's the root of the matter there. And in her approach unto the Lord Jesus Christ, there was worship. First, as she acknowledged him, "Thou son of David." Great David's greater son. The promised Messiah. But she had this case, and as I said, no doubt she came with great expectations, being persuaded she was coming to one who could deal with her case. Be no difficulties at all with regard to that. And so she brings her case to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there are strange things that happen. We read, didn't we? "Have mercy upon me. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered not a word. How strange this must have been to her. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But they thought that she was a bit of a nuisance, we do not know. We do not know the motive of those disciples at that time. But you see, what a setback this must have been to the poor woman. How strange it may have seemed to her. It appeared the Lord Jesus Christ took no notice of her petition. But you see, it was here a trial of faith. We read in the scripture, the Lord trieth the righteous. And wherever there's a work of grace wrought in the sinner's heart, that work will be tried. We have a very simple setting forth that really in the record we have with regard to this woman of Canaan. The Lord Jesus Christ tried her faith. There must have been somewhat of a setback for her in the first place, but it is to be noticed, isn't it? She's not offended. She's not offended. Although he answered not a word. And when he did speak, but he answered, Jesus answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here again, you see, will be brought home to her. She was not of the house of Israel in a national way. She was a Gentile, described as a Syrophoenician woman in Luke's Gospel. A Gentile, despised by the Jews. The Jews professed to be the people of God. The Gentiles were but as dogs, as it were. And here the Lord Jesus Christ gives this word. I'm not sent but the lost sheep, the house of Israel. But we do want to notice here, after all this, then came she and worshipped him. Oh, she's not offended. She did not turn away. You see, hers was a pressing case. And although there was a trial, there was the waiting time, as it were, she had a deep need. She brought it to one who could supply that need. But the help that she needed was delayed. She had a need. She sought that need might be supplied, that there might be healing granted to her daughter. But as yet, it did not come. And she seemed to be rebuffed again and yet again. Yet you see, she was not offended. No. It didn't swerve her from the fact that she's in the presence of he who is indeed great David's greater son. And she bows humbly before him. It rather suggests, doesn't it, that she fell down before him. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. What an importunity here. That's in spite of the hindrances, you see. In spite of the fact that help seemed to be delayed. In spite of the fact there seemed to be, as it were, a setback here. And that the Lord Jesus Christ seemed to act strangely before her. But it didn't swerve her. She had a pressing case. And dear friends, a great mercy, really, you know, to have a pressing case. And to realise you need help. You need this help that this woman prayed for. This short petition here will be the language of every true child of God, again yet again. Lord, help me. And she falls down, as it were, before the Lord. She prostrates herself before him, and in worship. I like to notice this. Then came she and worshipped him. This dear woman really, she knew more about worship at this time than all these professing scribes and Pharisees. There was something real here. There was something wrought in her heart. Yes, she abased herself before the Lord Jesus Christ. She acknowledged him as she worshipped him. And it was sincere worship. She realized in the presence of one who was no less than the great David's greater son, the promised Messiah. Then came she and worshipped him. It's a great mercy, friends, if sometimes as you have the opportunity to gather together for the time of worship, to be given this same spirit. Then came she and worshipped him. What have we to need, don't we, the gracious help of the Holy Spirit in our attempts to worship, that it may be unto him. That our gathering together may be unto him. That great word which fell from the lips of dear Jacob in his latter days. And unto him, the heavenly Shiloh, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Here was this dear woman, just this one case, as it were, falling before the Lord Jesus Christ and rendering worship to him. And it was worship acceptable. It was worship in faith. It was worship which had this in it, a complete dependence upon him to meet her need. And how we do well to realize this as we gather for worship. Hold her that living faith in the heart, in gracious exercise. And although sometimes, as it was in the case of this woman, faith will be sorely tried. But you see, it cannot be destroyed. And the Lord Jesus Christ had wise ends in the way he dealt with her. He made no mistake. No, although it may seem strange, and you may perhaps sometimes think that God's dealings are strange. When he writes, put it well, hasn't he? God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. This dear woman was yet to see some wonders performed. But it was mysterious, wasn't it? But I emphasize this, she was not offended. No, not like those disciples or so-called disciples we read of in John's Gospel, when the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed precious truths concerning himself. Well, they're so offended. So offended they went back and walked no more with him. They turned their backs upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They were apostates, really. They're very solemn to consider. But you see, this woman was not offended, no. And we notice further on with regard to what the scripture tells us about this dear woman and how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, but to cast it to dogs. She acknowledged the truth of that. She knew that the Gentiles, the Jews, considered the Gentiles as dogs. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to her in this way. It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But what a plea. First she acknowledges the truth of it. She's not even offended in the suggestion, the implication of this word. No. She accepts it. What a principle of humility is seen here. You know, she was brought low, wasn't she? Her need was desperate. She had setbacks. But she pursued her case. And she brings this argument, as it were. Little word, really. She pictures the fact that they are the dogs, and we understand them, the dogs in the land of the Bible used to run about and scavenger dogs, as it were. And to pick up anything that they could sustain themselves with. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes reference to that. And yet you see this woman use that as a plea. She accepts the fact she's no more than as a dog in the sight of the Jews, but she brings this plea. Oh, she pictures these dogs, yes, picking up the crumbs, yes, under the master's table. And so in this way, the Lord Jesus Christ tried her faith. She came with a real case. She came with a hard case. It was a case that she got no ability to deal with at all. She came, no doubt, with great expectations. She sought help from one who is the helper of the helpless, but help was delayed. Help was delayed. And sure, there are those times, aren't there, in life's journey when it is like that. You may have a particular matter, a particular case, you bring it before the Lord. Yes, and sometimes a little faith in exercise to realise you're approaching to one who's able to exceed you abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. But the help is delayed. You know, I said earlier, this is a trial of faith. We read quite a bit in the scriptures, don't we, of the blessedness of those who wait upon the Lord. Now, we have an instance of this. This dear woman, she waited on the Lord Jesus Christ, hopefully. Yes, she would not turn away, as it were. She acknowledged that she was but a poor Gentile, not worthy, as it were, of the notice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But she pressed her case. And the help was granted in due season. Yes. And how the Lord Jesus Christ speaks so kindly to her at length, setting forth his wise designs and the way he spoke to her, as it were to bring out what he knew was in her. Yes, that came from him. Faith in Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. How he acknowledges, you see, that faith that he discerned in her heart. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He even describes it as great faith. I feel the contrast with regard to what we read in the former chapter when the disciples were in the boat and the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the water, and how Peter stepped out of the boat, didn't he? If it be thou, bid me come unto thee onto the water, on the water, he said. And Peter came down out of the boat. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But then his faith failed, didn't it? Or he thought about the wind. His eyes came off, were not fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read this and begin to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And what did Lord Jesus Christ do? Well, in that case, of course, he immediately put his hand. Yes, Peter was not left to sink. And there was an immediate deliverance there. But notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now here's this dear woman. Not a disciple as Peter was. A poor Gentile. Yet, she was given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith the Lord Jesus Christ honoured. He tried it, he sorely tried it, but he acknowledged it. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What a precious principle is faith, isn't it? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, we have in this little word here before us, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Well, It is a petition, isn't it? Be found in the hearts of all true praying souls. Not a lengthy one, but a very urgent petition. Lord, help me. I'm sure there are times when your dear pastor, as he ascends this stairs to this pulpit, there's that prayer in his heart, no doubt many times. Lord, help me. What a mercy it is we can go to one, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom this dear woman came to. He was the helper of the helpless. He who helps poor needy sinners. He who comes to their help. He who has all ability. Yes, he who is mighty to save, strong to deliver. No case too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Though oftentimes it may be a long, nice way as we come into various needs, and there are various needs. It may seem sometimes that the Lord delays to send the help, but it's not denied. In God's good time and way, that help comes. But we do well to consider the dear Lord Jesus Christ here in this little word. Then came she and worshipped him. Dear friends, what a mercy it is if at times a little worship is wrought in your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's who he is. She acknowledged him, didn't she? Thou son of David, great David's greater son, have mercy on me. She acknowledged that he was that one, that promised Messiah. And he was the one to whom she could apply for mercy. There's mercy with him. He could, as it were, dispense that mercy. And when we think of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, what a wondrous person to consider. Oh, that we might be given high views of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed the helper of the helpless. You see, he came to the help of his dear people. Yes, who otherwise would have perished in their sin. How willingly the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven, as sent by God the Father. And there's that great word in one psalm, isn't there? I've laid help upon one that is mighty. It's as though there God the Father speaks with the psalmist. Laid help upon one that is mighty. No less than the Lord Jesus Christ. He that is mighty to save, strong to deliver. And this poor woman had some little realization of this. And this was the ground of her petition, as it were. This prompted her with her prayer. And now it should prompt us, shouldn't it? As we come into various needs. It's a good place to be brought to, you know, to be found just where this woman was. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You see, it's a time of need with us, isn't it? And well it is if we are kept conscious of our need. And we do need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need his help. We need his mercy. We need his grace. We need his salvation. We need his strength. Because we may fall into a sad case when we think we can stand in our own strength, you know. This dear woman, well, her complete dependence was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If we help to worship, if we help to pray this prayer from our hearts, it will be in dependence upon him. We do need the help. Because we're helpless. And well it is if sometimes this truth is brought home to us, you know. I know it may be, and it is a humbling experience. To have to learn our helplessness is not pleasing to human nature, is it? Human nature will be independent. We have to be humble, don't we? Have to be taught our need, that we need help. We can think of Peter once more. He thought he could stand. But he had lessons to learn, didn't he, with regard to himself. Oh, he would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the other disciples did, not Peter. But how he had to learn, didn't he? That how vain it was to stand in his own strength. Had to learn that he had no strength in himself when he was put to the test. What a humbling lesson it must have been to him. But how it was sanctified. And the point is this, isn't it? It's a great mercy, you know, if we're kept conscious of our need. If we think we can stand our own strength, we're on dangerous ground. And the mercy is this, the Lord will not leave his dear people like that. He will deal with them in various ways to bring them to realize that they must depend upon him, that he is their helper. But think of the help there is in him. There was no case too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here upon earth. Hard cases were brought to him, difficult cases, but he dealt with them, yes, completely, perfectly. And there is no case too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may feel sometimes you have a hard case. Yes, with regard to yourself, perhaps. Indeed, it is so, isn't it? But it's not too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there is help in him. There's gracious help. Yes, there's help which strengthens, help which sustains, supports. How comforting were these words to this dear woman as she went her way. O woman, great is thy faith. But the Lord will bring his people through these things. There'll be the waiting times. There'll be those, perhaps, those mysterious times, those strange ways. And yet the Lord has a purpose in it, and that is to do his people good. The Lord Jesus Christ had a loving, gracious purpose with regard to his dealings with this poor woman. And in the way he deals with his dear people as they come to him with their needs. Yes, with their Lord help me prayer. There may be waiting, there are waiting times. But the Lord has a purpose of grace. Yes, he never turns away these waiting souls. Rather, we read in the scripture, don't we? He waits to be gracious. That is, the Lord waits his own time. And what he does is best. And we do need, don't we? We need these trials, as it were. We need our faith to be tried. Because it is through the trial, and Peter speaks of it, doesn't he, in his epistle, as being precious. And you see, it makes manifest what is real. This dear woman, there was a real faith in her heart. And the test proved it. And when we are brought through trying seasons it may be, what a mercy it is to try our faith. And what a mercy it is of the little, yes, that sustains the fire, as it were. So that we are bettered by it. Not to feel better, no. But to make manifest that which is of him. And you see, concerning the work of grace in a sinner's heart, the Lord will perform that work. He will establish it. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Philippians, he stated, isn't he, being confident this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that work of grace and living faith in the heart, the Lord will perform it. Yes, grace needs to be tried. Faith is tried. But there's profit in it. You see, we may sometimes, passing through times of trial, or maybe waiting seasons, you feel to be much reduced, as it were. And Satan may come with his fierce temptations. But the Lord does not forsake his people. No. And those he causes to approach unto him, he never turn them away. No. There's that great word, isn't it, which fell from his holy lips. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And they come as needy sinners. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Just for a moment, I think of another case recorded in the scriptures in the Gospels concerning that poor blind man. And, well, the issue was this. They cast him out, didn't they? Cast him out of the synagogue. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't cast him out. Yea, rather, being cast out of the synagogue, the Lord Jesus Christ found him and revealed himself to him. And there again, we see how that poor man was brought into the secret of true worship. Yes, there may be delays, but not denials. And what the Lord does is best. He is too wise to err and too good to be unkind. We need help, don't we? Right along life's journey, we shall need help when we come to the end of the journey. What a mercy it is that there's one who has help to give. Strength sufficient, grace sufficient, I think. I tried to speak of that word when I was here the other Sabbath day afternoon. My grace is sufficient for thee. What a mercy that is. And that grace which is sufficient for the Apostle Paul is sufficient for all his dear people in their varied needs. May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing hymn 1072. 1072 to the tune Passchendaele 204. End. Hymn 1072.
pleased to mercifully pardon anything spoken amiss, and do bless thine own precious truth to our hearts. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest upon us and abide with us, and with the dear people of God everywhere, now and forever. Amen.